Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Good morning, family. How are you doing? He holds me fast. I don't know about you, but it kind of just gripped my heart this morning as a reminder that there are many things that go on in, through, around, and under our lives. But it's so comforting to know that our Lord, he holds us fast. This morning, I bring you greetings from the metropolis of Mesquite, where Team Baxter has come to fellowship with you. I do start off by giving hellos from my mother, who was not able to make it with us this morning. She was feeling a little ill. She's okay. She said, not an emergency, but she did want to send her loves and hellos. I do have with me, by way of introduction, if I had not a chance to say hello to you this morning, I have my beautiful bride, Brandy. And you can tell she's my bride wearing the same colors. But and then I also have my two smaller jewels, Joy and Faith. Some of y'all remember I said you can tell you need a lot of joy and you only need a little faith. But faith is not little. That's my powerhouse there. Don't let her fool you now. And then I also have the privilege and the honor to have my father here with me this morning. Last time we visited you, he was not living in the great state of Texas. He was in the other great state of Maryland. And so now he is living here, and we are honored to have him. I am not here to talk about me and my family, although I love them very much, but we're here to hear from the word of the Lord this morning. Is that all right? So if you have your Bibles or your iPhone or your Android, talk to Siri, talk to Alexis, but just make sure you wind up in the Gospel according to John, chapter 15. The Gospel according to John, chapter 15. I'll be reading from the Christian Standard Bible, and if you have that, say amen. If not, say wait. That is no problem. I grew up learning that the most blessed page in the Bible is the table of contents, so amen. But if you are with me, join me in verse 12 of John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, verse 12, and it reads, "This is my command, love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants anymore, because a servant does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." Verse 17. "This is what I command you, love one another." Father, we are honored, we are grateful, we are humbled. We are also joyous to be in this place. Lord, we were not promised this day, but you have given it unto us. And so now, Lord, we give it back to you. We say thank you. We ask for you to let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And all those in agreement will say amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I was excited just a couple weeks ago to get caught up on my wonderful chronicle story of this man who has brought joy, tears, and laughter to so many. It had been almost 10 years since I had a chance to hear from him, so I was glad that he came and saw me in the AMC theater, and his name is Woody. Woody of Toy Story came and visited Baxter. I don't know if you know my friend Woody, but Woody and the crew have had an amazing journey. He started out with Andy and being just some toys, thought left alone for nothing more than cobwebs, spiders, and rundown batteries. The movie Toy Story is so enlightening. If you have not seen it, I ask that you do rush out, not just to give the movie more grossing dollars, but that you go out and see, as Ray Newman has sung the song, "You Have a Friend in Me." I don't know what your day is like, but it's wonderful to have friends that you can count on. And in the movie Toy Story, Woody is the one of the characters, but he's a central character. He realizes that as a toy, I am just not someone to play with, but as a toy, I'm Andy's friend. Even when he moves from Andy to Bonnie, he is still not just a toy, but he's a friend, a demonstration of the love and joy of the owner, in this case, Andy and Bonnie. Woody says, you have a friend in me. And I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters, but it's great that someone calls you their friend. I know some of you use Facebook. And although you use Facebook, and although you have that little friend request, sometimes the person on the other side of the request is not really your friend. They can be an acquaintance. You met them one time, and unlike exchanging a business card, you say, hey, just friend me on Facebook. Or some people realize that people on Facebook aren't just friends, they're more like stalkers. They look at your pictures, they appropriate your pictures, and then they come up to you sometime a week and say, hey, I saw you at such and such place. You're like, you weren't there. No, I saw your picture on Facebook. They have no real relationship with you, despite what they think they are your friend. They had no connection to you. This morning in this text, in this very powerful text, we're just going to survey just a little bit of what does it mean to have the mark of spiritual friendship. Love is rampant in the Bible. And here in John, it doesn't minimize itself. It even grows because God says, I've commanded you to love one another. Why? Because I am your friend. God says, I want you to love one another. Why? Because I want the world to see that there's a mark about you, that you belong to me. This morning, we're just going to look at three characteristics of how we are commanded, how we should be committed, and how we're chosen to be loved one to another. In this discourse of chapter 13 through chapter 16 of John, we see that Jesus is in his last days on earth, and he is on his way to the pinnacle of demonstration of love, that is the cross. And so he's in the upper room. He's at the Last Supper. And unlike many of us, he's not just contemplating that everybody gets served correctly. He's thinking about this ultimate gift that he's going to give himself. And he's with his friends. The disciples are there. Now, there is one who we thought was a friend, but we found out he's not really a friend. Maybe he was just an acquaintance. Some of them, you know him as Judas, and some of us are real quick to point fingers at Judas, but my grandmama told me, be careful when you point fingers, you have three more pointing back at you. And in this upper room, you would think that there's a lot of friendship going on, but sometimes there are some people that are in your inner circle, they're not really your friend. They're just there to reap the benefits. And Jesus is there, and he takes that wonderful opportunity during the time of the meal, and he just doesn't sit there and say, would you like some more coffee? Would you like some more tea? Would you like a piece of cake? No, he just quietly slips away, and he grabs a towel. And he comes to those who are sitting there, reclining and enjoying the festivities, enjoying the meal, and he starts to wash feet. Now, I don't know about you. Let me pause for a moment. I have not had one of my dear friends come and wash my feet. Anybody want to? Nobody volunteered. But just that small symbol as we lean into what friendship is, Jesus says, I love you so much that I'm willing to take time as the host of this party, get down and get in between the toes. I had a friend of mine who says, Herman, that I want you to know that you're my friend because I love you so much that I stab you in the front. And you kind of start, you're like, what? True friendship starts to realize that I'm not just here in the periphery. I am committed to be in your presence. And Jesus at the washing of feet says, I'm so much in your presence. I want you to realize that I'm humbling myself some more by showing you something here. I'm ready to get with all your dirt and all your mess and make sure that it's clean. He's speaking more so to our sins. And that he wants to be so much of a dear friend that he says, I'm washing your feet. And guess what I want you to do? Wash one another's feet. If you won't mind, look at your neighbor to your left and the right and say, I'm not washing your feet right now. I say that humorously, but friendship is so powerful, but yet sometimes we take it for granted. Sometimes we look at our friends and we're not really committed to them. We look at our friends and sometimes we take our friends for granted because once we asked for $5 and now it's $500 and we never think about paying it back. Sometimes we look at our friends and we take for granted that they're always going to be there, and we don't take for granted that they have a schedule and they have families and they have commitments, and we call them, but I thought you was my friend. Jesus says in this passage, I don't want you just to think of our friendship superficially. I want you to think of our friendship as something that's spiritual, that's so connected that it starts here and we're going into eternity. Would you look at me with these three characteristics of friendship? And starting with even verse 12. First thing about spiritual friendship from Jesus is that it's a commandment. Verse 12 says, this is my command, love one another as I have loved you. Now, for those Bible scholars, you start to connect some dots here. He said, Jesus, first of all, I command you. Now, for those who don't really know Jesus, you're like, who gives him the right to command me? Well, some of y'all were sitting here this morning for Sunday school. We talked about Jesus' authority. Jesus has already pointed here that in order for me to command you, although you really don't know me as friend, I am letting you know that I am somebody. I am somebody with so much authority that I could command you to do something. We don't like that. When's the last time you had your friend command you to do something? Before you unfriended them. Jesus says, this command, this is my command. And I'm glad that we walked in this morning when we noticed, because even in the synagogue, there were people there who thought that they had all authority, so they give you some rules. They didn't say commandments, but they give you some rules. They give you some things for you to say, if you follow these things, then we have relationship. But Jesus says, no, I'm commanding you to have relationship because I'm the one that's telling you to do it. He uses a personal pronoun here, my command. He's letting us know that don't worry about what the others say. You just worry about what I say. Because my command is that you love one another. And it's very important, church, that we realize that Jesus is not just haphazardly picking love for no reason at all. He could have said, this is my command, that you give one to another. And some of us say, all right, Jesus, it's kind of cool. But let me ask you this. Do you just give to those that you like, or do you really give to those that you love? See, we can give things. I'm not a good gift giver. I'll buy you something. But then you might look at it and say, thanks, Bax. This is nice. But Jesus says, no, I'm saying my command to love. Come watch this now. The perfect gift, Jesus Christ says, I'm going to give you something that not for you just to like, but for you to live. If I can lean towards my wife a little bit, she's a great gift giver. She has the ability to meet someone and to talk with them for a while, and she goes, I know what they need. And she goes and she buys a gift, and the person, before they take it out the bag or all the way out the box, they're like, you should have. And they have that moment. I'm sitting there on the side like, what? And they pull it out, and it's the perfect thing. Jesus says, I'm commanding you. This is my commandment to love. Because guess what? You, your brother and sister, and the world needs love. Now, I'm not just throwing back a song from the 60s, but Jesus says, you need love. I know we've been hurt in the church before, but if we look at it, if we had love first, then maybe the hurt wouldn't have been so bad. Because truth does hurt. But truth that's wrapped in love is much more palatable than just truth because you said it as a right thing to say. Jesus says, my commandment, it's in chapter 13, he says, it's a new commandment. And here in 15, he says, it's my commandment. This commandment is so powerful that he says, it should remind you of Deuteronomy chapter 6. How should we love God? With all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our being. Jesus, I want you to know that this commandment is mine because it's new. Warren Wiersbe here helped me out when he says that it's an emphasis, it's an example, and it's an expression. And I love that because Jesus says, I'm getting ready to go away. And when I leave, you're physically not going to see me. But if you think of love one to another, it's like I'm there. If you think for a moment that I just wanted to just die because I had nothing else to do. No, I'm doing it because I love you and I'm commanding you. Some of you in this room had the opportunity to serve in the armed forces or maybe in another hierarchical organization, maybe the police force or the fire department. And we start to understand about commandments. It starts off when you go to boot camp, wherever that was at for you, and you step off the bus. For me, it was stepping off a bus. And all of a sudden, I had this gentleman about 5'11", 6 foot tall with this round hat. And all of a sudden, he just wanted to get close to me. I don't think it was my cologne. I don't think it was my fashion statement, but he just wanted to get close to me. So close that I was able to feel the heat from his breath in this ear, and I felt the shuddering in my stomach from the words he was saying. I will not repeat them here now, but let's just say he said some words, and all of a sudden I moved. I moved in directions and in movements that I had not learned before because he commanded it of me. Jesus wants us this morning to say, because I said it, you should do it. He's not going to yell at us, but the Holy Spirit kind of pricks your heart when all of a sudden Jesus says, you need to love someone, and you look up and it's a person that literally stabbed you. he says, I want you to know this. I'm commanding you to do this because you do have a friend in me. But he moves onward to the second characteristics. If you would join me in verse 13. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants anymore because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. The first characteristic is that a mark of spiritual friendship is that it's commanded by Jesus. But the second characteristic is that it's a commitment to obedience. I hope they don't mind, but I'm going to tell about my two jewels, Joy and Faith. Such wonderful, wonderful names. I mean, you can see Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, all on those wonderful names. But my daughters don't realize this, is that they are exhibiting a behavior that's in their father's heart too many times. I would say to my lovely daughters, children. Now I'll say it like that. I say, hey, who didn't wash the dishes? Who didn't clean the rooms? I'm getting some amens from the center section right about here. And I'm thinking, come on, ladies. You should know this by now. We have a schedule. My wife is so patient and she makes a calendar. And we all ignore the calendar, but I mean, there should be some commitment here. And they kind of look at me with this stare like, I had something else to do. I'm busy. I'm 9 years old now. I'm 8 years old. I got stuff to do. It didn't fit into my schedule. And that reminds me of me. Because I should be obedient to what the Lord says. I should not look at my schedule, but I should look towards him. My commitment level should be so high that there is no other things I should consider. And so my daughters remind me, as Jesus says here, you want to be my friend? Do what I say. But sometimes that rubs us the wrong way. Because the flesh says, well, last time you didn't do what he said, he didn't really do nothing bad to you. I mean, you got a little hiccup, but it didn't really hurt you, did it? I mean, what? Do we really have to love one another? What if we just send a nice thank you note? Jesus, no. I am ordering you to love one another. And if you obey my commandments, guess what? Then you are my friends. You can't say you're my friends and not do what I say. The same writer picks this up in 1 John when he tells us, hold it now, how can we say that we love God and whom we have not seen, but yet and still hate our brother and our sister who we see how often? Every day. And it starts to hit you, because as God looks at me and I look at my children, I realize, do my children really love me because they ignore me? I'm just asking a simple thing. It's not that hard. I mean, before you worry about turning on the TV, can you take care of this? What about in the morning? Hello, children. Phew. Wow, that was pretty quick. But may I charge us that we do the same thing? I'm just going to raise my hand. When's the last time you really took time to communicate with the Lord in prayer? I'm not saying that we don't pour out our hearts. I'm not saying that we don't go with petitions to him. But sometimes he just wants us just to sit and hang out with him for a while, to listen to what he has to say. When's the last time thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you? He commands us to be in his word. He commands us to be in his presence through prayer. He commands us to be with one another in love. This commitment to obedience is a hard thing, because I love how the Lord says, you are no longer servants. Some of your translation says slaves. Because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But Jesus says, I'm letting you know everything. Matter of fact, some things I can't let you know, because it will not only confuse you, your jaw will probably drop. And I did some history reading, and there were people who were friends of the king or friends of the emperor. They were close to the monarchy. They were close to the king and to the queen, almost so that they knew exactly what the king and queen was going to do. But here's one thing the friend of the emperor did not know what they're going to do. You didn't know if the king one morning going to get up and say. But Jesus says, watch this. Although I may be physically gone, you're not alone. I'm praying to the Father to bring you a helper, the Holy Spirit, to be with you. But even more so, just as I am going to die, and just as the Father is going to raise me from the grave, I am coming back again for you. And I want you to know I'm doing this because I love you. I love you so much that I'm willing to give of myself so that you can have everything you need. I don't know about you, brothers, but there was a moment in my time, for those who are married, when I said, this love thing is kind of hard. I'm just going to, what they say, keep it 100. I'm going to keep it real. I like what I like. And my wife gave me a challenge one day. And if you brothers pass this test, just say amen when I'm finished. It started out as we were going out to get something to eat. And we're riding in the car, and my wife says, what would you like to eat? So what do you think a wise man is going to say to his wife when she asks that question? Who said that? You've been to the class. Amen. And I'm showing love, right? I mean, I dare not say, well, we going over here to get some barbecue. Duh. No, I thought I was loving my wife by saying, well babe, whatever you want to eat, that's what we'll have. And somehow the Holy Spirit allowed my wife's tongue just to roll off and say, that's not what I asked you. She demonstrated love towards me. And she says that if I was not concerned what you wanted to eat, I would not have asked the question. Do not try to figure me out. Just answer the question. Jesus says the same thing to us. Don't try to overcomplicate it. Just love one another. What do you mean, Baxter? Well, if you don't know what somebody may need, is it wrong to ask them? If you're concerned about how to really love, well, let's try this out. Let's test it out a little bit. Hey, what's your name? That's a good start. Some of us are challenged to love because we don't even grow up and ask people the simplest question. What's your name? How are you doing today? Are you willing to sacrifice your preference for the better of somebody else? Jesus says, do not be concerned about being a servant of how do I do it? And I make sure I do it right. And I make sure I get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. No, you're my friend. And friends hang out. Friends laugh. Friends cry. Friends are together. Well, our Lord and Savior, not because it's a good preaching point, has a third one here. He says, not only do you realize I've commanded you to love, not only should you be committed in obeying love, but he picks up here in verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. The third characteristics of the mark of spiritual friendship is that you have been chosen. I don't know about you, but I've had many people who the Lord has allowed to cross my path of life. And I remember some of their names. And I remember maybe an event, maybe a date that how we got together or what happened. But I can honestly stand before you, it's really only my friends that I've chosen that I know birthdays, that I know anniversaries. I know their favorite color. I know what they want to eat and what they don't want to eat. That's what Jesus says. Watch this now. The third characteristic of spiritual friendship is marked by you've been chosen. Jesus says here that you did not choose me, but I chose you. We have to be careful sometimes when we use the phrase of God is my friend. No, he says you are my friend. Nowhere in the Bible does Jesus says, now you call me friend. He says, I call you friend. There is something when you've been chosen. I remember my sad days on the playground and I was the last one picked for kickball. Anybody been there? I mean, you're waiting. Thank you, brother. You've been waiting in line. You're like, you're standing there. You're like, whoo, yeah. And you start looking and they take that one and that one. And you're one of the last two left. And they pick the other person over you. But Jesus says, no, that's not what I did. I know you are terrible. I know you really can't participate. I know you don't look the part. You know, the things that the world tells us. I don't want you to hang around here because you're from that social economic area. You know what the world tells you? Yeah, we could be co-workers, but we can't be friends. You know, the world says that I can't really have you my friend because if you were my friend, that means you start to understand some things about me and I got to keep this image looking good. Jesus says, no, a mark of spiritual friendship is that I go in and I choose the worst of the worst, the bad of the bad. Those who think they have an image, you don't understand the true image until you look me dead in my face. Jesus says, I have chosen you. And I don't know about you, brothers and sisters. It's great to be called upon. It's wonderful when you're sitting and you didn't even realize that they picked you for that award. And you're sitting in the audience, you're like, well, here's another award ceremony. And all of a sudden, your name is called. And you actually do like they do in the Oscars. Me? I didn't know.
Really?
God says, yes, I call you. I don't call you a servant as in Downton Abbey and I ring a bell, you come around the corner. No, I called you. And I called you. And watch this now. I didn't call you to be part of my entourage. I call you to be my friend. I've called you to be in intimacy with me. It was wonderful to tell our daughters, when my wife and I, we says, no, mommy and daddy, we're each other's best friend. And Jesus says, guess what? You're my best friend. Yes, I know what you did just yesterday. Yes, I know what you did this morning. Matter of fact, I even know what you're thinking right now. But you're still my friend. And Jesus says, you're my friend not because I just call you, but I chose you. I'm learning a little bit more that when you go shopping for produce, sometimes to choose the right one, you have to kind of touch it, and you got to kind of feel it, and you got to kind of look at, you know, inspect it, right? I mean, if anyone goes to the supermarket and picks up the first apple to see, woe unto you. But Jesus says, guess what? I'm the perfect fruit inspector. Not only because at the beginning of the chapter, my father is the vine dresser, but I am the vine. And he says, I know what's been placed inside of you. So Jesus gets down in our muck in the mind. He kind of picks us up and he looks around at us. He squeezes air that we still don't want to surrender to him. He smells that our prayers are not quite right, but he says, thank you for keep on praying anyhow. Jesus kind of picks us up and he, like the candle, he kind of shakes us around a little bit. Why? Because trials and tests and suffering brings out the rich and freshness out of us. Jesus takes us like a grape and he says, wow, this sure is a good grape. Smashes us. And all of a sudden we realize, what did he just do to my life? He says, I need to pour you out like wine, like Paul says, and so I can taste you. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And he says, because I did it, you need to do it too. Jesus says, the third characteristic of spiritual friendship is that you've been chosen, and I'm the one that's choosing you. And so what he says is, because I've chose you, I did not choose you just to sit on the shelf. Hello, somebody. Too many times as believers, we believe that we come to church just to be an ornament. Jesus says, no, you need to be a tool. C.S. Lewis writes that spiritual friendship is when we connect with one another to know more about them, but that we become the instrument to find out the beauty inside of one another. God says, I have chosen you to be my instrument to find out the beauty in someone else. You thought it was an interruption because that person stopped you in the hallway from your appointment, and all of a sudden you heard their story because they said, I thought you was a Christian. Will you pray for me? And your heart starts to rumble. What do I got? Oh, okay. Once you said okay and surrender, all of a sudden you notice that Jesus says, that's why I chose you. And I have now appointed you to bear fruit. You bear fruit when you pray with someone else. You bear fruit when you down to your last dollar and you give it away and all of a sudden $100 shows up in your bank account. You give fruit when all of a sudden you say, I'm not just going to write you on my prayer list. I'm going to grab your hand right now and pray for you. Jesus says, I've chosen you. I've called you. And I now appointed you. But I love this. The latter part of 16, Jesus says, I've chosen you because I want you to ask my Father whatever you desire. And guess what he said? You can have it. Some of my dear friends, I'm able to go to them. And yes, I'm humble sometimes when I have a need and I need to ask them, but I don't ask them timidly. I don't try to play the scenario of, okay, well, if I ask them in this way, if I make sure I dress it up just a little bit for them to give to me. No, my dear friends, I could come to them boldly and say, hey, I'm in a spot. I need this. And I have some dear friends that says, you know what? I understand. Now watch this. They take care of my need, but then they come around and they make sure I'm sustained. Jesus says, if you are my friend, and if you realize I've chosen, you can now come to the Father boldly. And you can ask, and I will meet the need, because first of all, you will not ask amiss. You'll ask as we're friends together. So don't try to sugarcoat it. Don't try to, you know, sweeten up the deal, sweeten up the pot. No, this is not an extra block on your tax form. This is you coming boldly. He says, you asked, And because you ask in my name, the Father will do. But Jesus says, I'm not just going to meet you there at the need. I want to sustain you. I'm going to make sure that you're taken care of now and through eternity. My brothers and sisters, the end of the Toy Story movie, except for part 4, when you do get a chance to see that, spoiler alert, is at the end of almost every one of the Toy Story movies. They show the bottom of Woody's foot. And at the bottom of Woody's foot, the first two was the name Andy. And at the bottom of Woody's foot, the part 3 is Bonnie. Jesus says, I'm not going to write my name on your foot. But I want you to know, my name is written on you when you show love one to another. People will know that you're not only my disciples, but you have the spiritual mark of friendship. Not just because you obey my commandments, not just because you're committed to doing the right thing, but you realize I've chose you to show love one for another. God bless you.